I would like to welcome you along to this special service to remember and to give thanks for the life of Mrs. Phyllis McFarlane. On Sunday morning, Phyllis went suddenly to be with the Lord, whom she loved and whom she served for many years. And while she is today with the Lord, which Paul reminds us is far better, yet her passing brings much sorrow and grief to the hearts of those who have been left behind. However, it is good to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus is a sympathizing Savior. Paul reminds us that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And feeling our sorrow, he promises to give us the oil of joy for mourning and to give us the garments of praise for heaviness. And on behalf of the session and congregation of Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, I would like to express our heartfelt sympathy to Mrs. McFarlane's family, to her husband Frank. They had 18 special years together. You never saw Phyllis, but you saw Frank and the other way around, and they were very close. We also extend our sympathy to her son, Mr. Stephen Whiteside, and to her daughter, Mrs. Barbara Johnson, and to her husband, Sam. Barbara and the family live in New Zealand, and because of COVID restrictions, they're not able to be here in the service this afternoon. But I know that they are watching the service live online, and we sympathize with them. Also, could I express our sympathy to Phyllis's grandchildren and to her great-grandchildren, whom she loved very dearly. Could I also mention Frank's sister, Barbara? Her and Phyllis spoke almost every day on the phone. And I want to assure you not only of our sympathy, but of our prayers at this time. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help and grace this afternoon. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that is ours of coming before Thee. We thank Thee that Thou art the sovereign God, the one who rules over all. Thou hast not only set the time of our birth, but Thou hast set the very time of our death. And, Lord, we would cry even today, Thy will be done. We thank Thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who tasted and triumphed over death, and by His death rose victorious over the grave, purchasing full and free salvation. We thank You, Lord, for that day in Phyllis's life when Thou didst reveal Thyself to her in a very special way, and when she came by faith unto Thee. We thank Thee that in that moment her sins were forgiven and she was made ready for heaven. We thank You that while Thou didst give her many years after that, yet we thank You, Lord, that she used those years even to praise Thy name and to spread the good tidings even of the gospel. We thank You, Lord, for the example that she was and for the pattern that she has left by her life for us even to follow in. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us to live for Thee even as she lived for Thee. And Lord, we rejoice that because of Calvary, that she is with Thee today, which is even far better. While she is in Thy presence and rejoices, yet, Lord, as we gather here, our hearts are heavy, and we miss her very, very much. And we do remember especially Frank. We pray, Lord, put Thine arms of love around him and bear him up and undertake for him. Remember Stephen and his family. We pray, Lord, that You would give grace at this time. We think of Barbara and her family separated by the oceans, not able to be here today. But we pray, Lord, that even as they listen in to the service, that Thou wouldst draw near and that Thou wouldst give them help and comfort them even in their grief. And so, Lord, we come today to worship Thee. We come to thank Thee for Thy grace in Phyllis's life. We come to spread even that glorious message that she loved, that Christ came to save sinful man. And we pray for Thy servant as he opens up the Word of God. We pray that Thou wouldst be all to him, for each who will take part in the meeting, that Thou wouldst give help. So, Lord, we commit our way now to Thee. Be with us and undertake for us, for we pray in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. Knowing that this day would eventually come, Mrs. McFarland chose two hymns to be sung at her funeral. The first of these is, "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign." These words were special to Phyllis, and they meant a great deal to her. We'd love to have been able to sing them today, but because of COVID, we're not singing, but the words are there before you in the order of service. The organist will play the hymn, and we trust that you'll even read the words and think upon these words, which were so special to Phyllis. Phyllis's daughter Barbara is unable to be here today. She and her family live in New Zealand, but she has sent me a tribute to be read out, written on behalf of the family. And I'm going to read that tribute to you. And certainly reading through it a little earlier, I learned a lot about Phyllis that I didn't know previously. Phyllis was born on the 29th of August, 1929, in Inishowen. She spent her early childhood living in Hollywood with her adoptive mother, Judy, much-loved brother, Larry, and sister, Betty. She remembered beautiful paintings, lovely hand-crocheted dresses, and many trips to hospital. She was unable to walk until the age of 5, when she had an operation to correct an issue with bone in her legs. But despite this, there are photos of her learning to walk in her little braces, always wearing her characteristic smile, which she had throughout her whole life, regardless of the circumstances. At this young age, her genuine love for others was already evident, as we have heard through stories of her sharing her favourite toys with a little girl down the street who was sickly, even though the toys came back in a far worse condition than they had been given. From here, they moved to Conlig in Bangor, where she had many stories of school days, friends, and life during the Second World War. At the age of 14, she left school on Friday and started work the following Monday in a laundry and was quickly promoted to office assistant, helping with administrative tasks. From here, she moved into the grocery business in Greenwell Street, Newton Ards. Soon after this, she was told about a man named Bertie Whiteside in Bangor who was looking for a shop assistant, and this would be the start of the next chapter in Phyllis's life. After working happily with Bertie for a while, she put her administrative skills to better use and took a position in the UTAA bus office in Bangor. If we ever asked her anything about her different jobs, she would always have stories about lovely people she had worked with, and at least a few stories of laughs they all had together. As we all know, Phyllis had a genuine love for people, and people were just drawn to her. And anyone here who has ever been on a walk through town with Phyllis can probably testify how many people she bumps into down the street who greet her with a big hug. It was one evening during this time she was reacquainted with Bertie, who gave her a lift home and asked her on a date. They were married in Newton Ards, and together they ran the busy grocery store in Bangor. In February 1956, they welcomed their son Stephen into the world. There had been much excitement among the customers in the lead-up to Stephen's arrival, as the local newspaper was giving away a beautiful bassinet to any baby born on the leap year. Stephen did arrive on the 29th, to everyone's delight. Phyllis often spoke about what a beautiful baby he was and how he sat outside the shop in his pram, greeting the customers as they arrived. Fast forward another 4 years to leap year, 1960, and Phyllis was back in the maternity ward, wondering if this little baby would take home the promised pram, which was offered to anyone who happened to have 2 leap year babies. Barbara arrived on the 6th of March, and while no prize was won this time, Phyllis brought home her much-loved daughter and friend. Family life continued happily, with Stephen and Barbara helping in the family shop and sometimes even giving away free confectionery to their friends, much to the frustration of their hard-working parents. Over this time, many lifelong friendships were formed with customers and their families, one of whom was Patricia, who is here today. Phyllis, who was now in her early 40s, was invited to a gospel meeting by her mother-in-law, and here Phyllis gave her life to the Lord. And, as we all know, she continued to live her life in humble obedience to her beloved Saviour, which can thankfully give us cause to rejoice today. Sadly, on Easter Sunday 1972, things took an unexpected turn and Bertie passed away suddenly at the age of 50. Every Easter, Phyllis would shed a little tear for Bertie, which makes this Easter time especially poignant. With a change in family circumstances and growing popularity of supermarkets, Phyllis decided it was time to sell the shop. She was now part of a church family in Bangor, and served the Lord faithfully. She and Barbara lived very happily together in Bangor, and Stephen travelled the world. Stephen returned to Bangor, and in 1981, he married the love of his life, Laura, who went to be with the Lord 12 years ago. Also in 1981, Barbara married the love of her life, Sam, and Phyllis's family once again began to grow. Over the next 10 years or so, Phyllis was busy being a devoted granny and remaining an active member of her church, from singing in the choir to helping clean the church building. She was always busy. Phyllis has left behind 5 grandchildren who think the world of her, who have had the joy of her sharing wisdom through her stories, laughter, and little songs. She also leaves 6 great-grandchildren who she loved greatly, never missing a birthday, and even at age 90, getting down on the floor to play with them. Phyllis had often told Barbara she would never marry again, and her life seemed full. But all that changed when she turned 70 and met Frank McFarlane. She and Frank married in 2004 and left Bangor to move to Lurgan. Together, she and Frank have been a part of the Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church family. They have traveled to New Zealand, got their lovely dog Tess, enjoyed weekly outings to Newcastle, and visits back to Bangor, and even mastered modern technology, allowing Phyllis to regularly Skype all her family. Phyllis was a faithful and loving wife, and a role model for the rest of her family, always a blessing to those around her. Phyllis turned 90 in 2019 and was able to have a wonderful celebration, surrounded by family from Bangor, Portaferry, New Zealand, Africa, and from all over Northern Ireland. Today as a family, we want to remember a very special lady who Stephen and I were so blessed to have as our mum, and whom Simon, Rebecca, Sam, Sarah, and Hannah were so blessed to have as their granny. To know Mam was to love her. She was unique in many ways. First, in her love for her Savior, which was very evident in her life. She was a wonderful example to each of us as how a believer in Christ ought to live. She was real, authentic, and had not only love for the Lord, but also a great love for people. She had a beautiful attitude to life in every circumstance right up until the end, and was blessed with the joy of the Lord. She took a keen interest in every aspect of all our lives, from the youngest to the oldest, and she was able to relate to each and every one. One thing we know for sure was that Mum prayed for us, probably more than we will ever know. She prayed for our salvation first and foremost, and her heart's desire is that all her family would come to know and love the Savior. She prayed for God's protection and blessing on our lives. And many of these prayers God has graciously answered. Mum was always full of fun. And many times she had us in fits of laughter with things she would say and stories she would share. We will miss her dreadfully. We already do. But know that we will see her again in heaven. And that brings us much joy and hope. And for now, dear Mum and Granny, we say goodbye until then. And we thank Barbara for those very touching words. Phyllis not only prepared for this day by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior, but she laid down the hymns that she wanted to be sung, and also the scripture that she wanted to be read. And she wanted the 121st Psalm to be read. And I'm going to ask her granddaughter, Sarah, to come and to read that to us now.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth thee will not slumber, nor sleep. Sorry. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thank you.
Can I thank Sarah for reading to us that portion of the Word of God, and I know that her grandmother would much appreciate it. I want to read just a few more verses found in the Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the first book. In the chapter 4 we read, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. We're very glad today to have with us in the service the Reverend David Crean. Mr. Crean is Minister Emeritus of this congregation, and he also was Phyllis's minister for many years. In fact, the association goes long back, even before their meeting in Lurgan. Phyllis was originally from Bangor, and she can remember the Reverend Crean's wife when she was a baby in the pram. So it's fitting that Mr. Crean should bring the address this afternoon. So we're going to ask him to come now and to bring God's word.
Thank you, Mr. Murray, and I count it an honour to be asked to preach at Phyllis's funeral today. And on a personal note, I want to express the sympathy of our family, my wife and children, to Frank and to Barbara and to Stephen, to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren at this time of sorrow and of loss. As Mr. Murray said, our connection with Phyllis goes back a number of years. My wife's parents, Cecil and Margaret McGrath, knew her very well and befriended her, and she befriended them, and they thought the world of her and esteemed her very highly in the Lord. My wife's Auntie Lily also befriended Phyllis, and likewise Phyllis befriended her as they attended the Congregational Church in Bangor. And God really blessed those times, and those were enriching, and we do thank God for the life, the testimony, and the friendship of our dear sister Phyllis, who's now with the Lord. I would personally want to thank Barbara for that wonderful tribute that she gave to her mum. And every word is true. And we do thank God for all those precious memories. I had the great joy on several occasions when Barbara was back home here on holiday of welcoming her to this church. And she sat about halfway down on my right-hand side there. And it was a delight to see her and her children when they were at home here on holiday. And so to her and to Stephen and all the family, we assure you of our prayers and of our thoughts at this particular time of loss and sadness. Phyllis, in her Christian life, was a good woman. She was a lady, and the memory of the just is always blessed. Her life was characterized by conversion to Christ. As we have heard, there was a time in her life when she recognized she was a sinner, and she repented of her sin, and she came into the knowledge of salvation through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Her life was enriched by communion with God. She believed in keeping in touch with the Lord through prayer and through fellowship and communion and the Bible reading. She loved the Word of God. She loved prayer. And we have heard already of how she prayed for her family and for others and for the work of God. And that was true when she came here to Lurgan and spent those years with us in the services here. And I believe her life was also affected by the fact that the Lord was coming again, because she had that great belief that the Lord Jesus was coming back. And because of that conviction, she was enabled to live her life in holiness before the Lord. And she was not attached to the things of this world, but she set her affections on things above, and she sought those things which were eternal. And because of all these precious memories, today makes it sad for us all, because her loss is great. But we do know that she's at home with the Lord, and that she's with Christ, which is far better. We know, Frank, you'll miss her, and we know the family will miss her, but we want to assure you of our prayers that God's grace might be such that you will be sustained and that you will be kept in the days which are still to come. As I was thinking about the service today, having been asked to speak, I remembered two scriptures and they came to my mind. One was in John chapter 14 and the other in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which Mr. Murray read to us. Verse 2 of John 14 says these words, "I go to prepare a place for you." A place for you. Christ speaks of heaven as a real place, not merely as a state of mind. He pictured heaven as a loving home where the Father dwells. Verse 2 mentions mansions, and in the original, it is actually abiding places, denoting the permanency of our heavenly home. Phyllis has gone home to her permanent home, the heavenly home. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And she was ready, having made her preparation through seeking Christ and trusting him as her Savior. Christ the carpenter, as he is called in Mark 6 and verse 3, is building a heavenly home for all who have trusted in him. and he will return to receive his own blood-washed people unto himself. He says, I will come again. Verse 3. The Apostle Paul later amplified this promise when he said, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, those verses which were read to us, the Apostle says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he goes on down those verses, reassuring God's people that they are safe in God's keeping. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I believe that passage is one of the most famous passages in the New Testament on the subject of comfort. After stating the Christian's hope in Christ, Christ who died, Christ who rose again, Christ who is soon to return to receive and glorify his people, Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Here is the comfort of the people of God described in terms of the coming again of Jesus Christ. The return of Christ is firmly based on his death and on his resurrection, and therefore our comfort at his coming is also based on his death and on his resurrection. For it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We find, therefore, comfort in a backward look to the finished work of Christ at Calvary. The Lord Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he rose again for our justification according to the Scriptures. We also find comfort when we look down into the grave and we see death for what it really is. It is a sleep, not for the soul, but for the body. Dying in Christ, someone has said, is like lying down in the bosom of God, a resting in Christ in perfect peace, free from corroding care. That's a good description. Sleep doesn't last forever. Sleepers must awake. And so Paul's metaphor in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4 teaches us that at the coming of the Lord, there will be a glorious resurrection of the saints who have died in Christ. Also, we find great comfort in looking forward then to the coming of our Savior and our gathering together unto him. What comfort believers have? What great comfort Christians have as they believe in the very Word of God? They can look back without shame. They can look back without guilt, knowing that their sins are under the blood of him who died on the cross and rose again triumphantly over death. They can also face death without fear, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they can look forward without doubt or fear, for they know they will rise to meet their returning Lord in the air. And so then, everlasting, perfect glory is our destiny. If you love the Lord, if you know Christ, if you're saved by his sovereign grace, then everlasting, perfect glory awaits you. There is great hope And this is the hope of every Christian. This is the joyous light that penetrates even the darkness of the grave. That is why Paul could cry aloud, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" That sting has been forever removed because the Lord has ransomed his people from the power of the grave and has appointed them to life eternal with himself. What a hope, and what a joy, and what comfort these wonderful truths bring to our hearts today as we think of our loved one who has passed on and whose body we will soon leave in Mother Earth. Not much wonder then that the Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Some might ask the question, how do we know that Christians go to heaven? Well, I believe there are several reasons how we can know, but I'm just going to mention three of them. First, because of the price that Jesus paid for our sins. We know that because of the price he paid. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." How wonderful. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. His blood washes whiter than snow. Tell me, have you been washed in the blood of Christ? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank God for that day many years back when Phyllis was washed in the blood of the Lamb and her sins were taken away. That's why she's in heaven. Not because she was a church member or a good woman. Not because of baptism or sacraments of any kind. Not because of good works. But because she took Christ as her Savior and trusted in his finished work upon the cross at Calvary. That's how you'll get to heaven if you want to be there along with Phyllis in time to come. But secondly, because of the promise that Jesus made, not just because of the price that he paid, but because of the promise that he made. John 14, verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a promise. He's coming again, and he's going to bring us to be with himself. But where he is, we shall be there also. But thirdly, because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. Listen to this wonderful prayer. John 17 and verse 24. He prays to the Father, and he's praying for his people, his blood washed, his saved people. He says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." You see, the Father always answers his Son's prayers. So we know that believers who die in the Lord go to heaven. they do go to heaven to behold the glory of the Lord. On Sabbath morning, Phyllis went to heaven to behold the glory of the Lord. She has seen her Savior face to face, and she rejoices around the throne above, singing, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, to him be the glory forever." What a song! Tell me, will you sing that? The Shorter Catechism is a great little manual of sound Christian doctrine. And in question 37, it asks, what are the benefits of the soul of the believer at death? And it says this: the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in the grave till the resurrection. That tells us three simple things about the soul. First of all, the soul is at death made perfect in holiness. Phyllis strived after holiness. That was her desire. But on Sabbath morning, she was made perfect in holiness. The second thing is, the soul is free from all sinful tendencies. How we as Christians struggle to overcome sin. On Sabbath morning, Phyllis was freed from all sinful tendencies. And the third thing, it is, the soul was taken at once to heaven. Immediately. There was no intermediate place, no purgatory, no limbo, nothing intermediary. She went straight to heaven to be with Christ. That's the lot of the Christian. That's a comfort. I'm glad I don't have to suffer for my sins after I die. Christ's blood has atoned for my sin. Christ's atonement at Calvary has provided for all my need. And I am liberated and set free, and on death I am transported triumphantly and gloriously into the presence of my Redeemer. And that's where Phyllis is today. You, as the members of the family, rejoice. You'll see her again, having been saved yourself, born again. If you're a Christian, you'll see her again. You'll join with her as she sings the praises of the Lord. But that catechism also tells us three simple things about the body, as well as three things about the soul. First of all, the body rests in the grave. Soon, that's where Phyllis's body will be. Secondly, the body is still in union with Christ. And even though worms eat this body, God will be able to gather it together again. And thirdly, it will remain in the grave till the resurrection at the last day, when it will be raised up a glorious body like unto Christ's glorious body. What a great hope believers have in Jesus Christ. Is that your hope? Do you have it today? Heaven is where God is, and it is God's presence that makes heaven what it is. It is not some high concentration of golden streets and jewels. Yes, those will be there. But heaven is where Christ is. And it is this that makes it heaven. Little wonder the Apostle Paul could say, I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, for the believer, death means entering into the glorious presence of Christ. I close with this from Matthew Henry, the 18th century Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, loved by so many people still as they read his commentaries. Matthew Henry expressed this confidence that I'm speaking about in words he hoped would be read after his death by anyone who might unduly mourn his passing. He wrote in the form of five questions and five answers. Firstly, he asks, "Would you like to know where I am?" And he answers, "I am at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me there. I am where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done, and I am reaping. My joy is the joy of harvest." Isn't that wonderful? Secondly, he asks, "Would you like to know how it is with me?" Then he answers, "I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory." Now, grace and glory are together, and grace is swallowed up in the splendor and the glory of heaven. Thirdly, he asks, "Would you like to know what I am doing?" And he answers, "I see God not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweetest employment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to him who sits upon the throne, and I am constantly praising him." Fourthly, "Would you know what blessed company I keep?" And he answers, "It is better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances, with whom I worked and prayed, and who have come here before me." And lastly, he asks, "Would you know how long this will continue?" And he answers, "It is a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me." Phyllis would say to her family today, and to all of us, "Weep not for me, for it is well with me. It is well with my soul. Because there was a day I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and he took me as a guilty sinner, saved me from my sin, made me and fitted me for heaven." And she's arrived there. Her journey here is over. Life on earth is done. And friend, we ask you today to turn your eyes upon Jesus. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Today at this funeral service, you can do one of two things with Christ. You can turn from him and go out into the world with its sin and darkness and enter into eternal darkness without Christ forever. That would be sad. Or you can turn to him. The Bible calls it repentance, a turning from sin, a turning in faith to Christ, trusting in him as your Savior and your Lord and your friend. And if you do that, you will discover a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. May God be pleased to bless his word to your hearts today. And may he continue his good hand upon Frank and all the members of Phyllis's family. And may you know the comfort of the grace of God and his strength as he leads you on in the days which lie ahead. We're going to hear played by our organist the closing hymn that Phyllis has chosen for today. We'd like you to listen to the lovely music and to follow the words on your order of service as this hymn is being played.
Let us bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us. We thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou wouldst write it upon each heart today. We thank you, O Father, for the scriptures that were read to us as well. We were reminded that we lift our eyes not unto the hills, but we thank you today that we lift our eyes beyond the hills to him who made heaven and earth. And we thank thee that being the great omnipotent God, that thou art able to comfort hearts, and that thou art able also to save to the very uttermost. We thank thee, O God, that for that day when you met Phyllis along life's road, and you saved her, and you changed her, and we rejoice that thou wast with her all the way. We thank thee on Sunday morning that death was but a shadow, and that she knew no fear. And we thank thee that closing her eyes, she opened them in glory. Be with us now as we make our way even to the graveyard. We pray, Lord, teach us to number our days, and we pray that each might be ready, lest we receive that call suddenly. So, Lord, be with us now, for we pray in thy name. Amen. Amen.